Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I hope you can stick with us for the entire show today because we are fully loaded. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll hear from our buddy, the typical Thursday guest on our show, at least typical over the course of the last few months, former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards. A lot to discuss with Terrence. We'll look forward to doing that then. And in addition to that, I'm also very excited today about what happened for Georgia basketball last night against Kentucky. A great win, snapping what had been a losing streak for the Dogs against the Cats. The coach who led it, Tom Crean, the coach of Georgia basketball, going to be with us on the program here today before we're done there as well. A great chance to look back on what was a very good night for Georgia basketball. We will do that before we're done here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. Before we do anything else, though, let me kind of begin with this. I'm going to build to a point here in just a moment, but let me start with the kind of the very interesting news and rumor, however you want to kind of categorize this, from yesterday. There had been some chatter over the course of the last few weeks about what might be going on with former South Carolina head coach Will Muschamp. When Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider, joined us this past Friday on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp, Jeff kind of laid out exactly kind of what he'd been hearing over the course of the last few weeks, and Muschamp, who's obviously a Georgia alumnus, what a possible connection might be for Muschamp with the Dogs going forward. This was interesting from Jeff on Friday, the first time I think publicly we had heard Jeff say any of this kind of stuff. Let's go back and hear that.
Some of the things that I'd heard over the last month that Will Muschamp was in the building at Georgia. He'd been working on some sort of analyst consulting type role. Not sure what that was going to be. So just simply what I've heard that Muschamp was in the building last month, kind of looking over things, kind of trying to get in some sort of, you know, just looking at Georgia leading up to bowl prep. It's kind of that, I guess it's that thing Kirby Smart always mentions when he talks about self-scouting, trying to see what we can do better. Obviously, the connection there everybody draws is his son, Jackson Muschamp, is a walk-on quarterback on the team. And then you also have the long-time connections going back years and years and years to their time at Georgia. And then Kirby getting some of his first breaks in the coaching profession thanks to Muschamp's recommendation as well. So those guys go back a long way.
So as Jeff says, it's easy to draw a line between Muschamp and Georgia. He's an alumnus of the program. He's a good friend of Kirby Smart's. We've seen even public evidence of, you know, how close these guys are, you know, friends with each other. We kind of know that. And in addition to all that, Will's son Jackson is a preferred walk-on quarterback with the Bulldogs. So, you know, if we just kind of sat around and kind of, you know, spitballed about various rumors that could be easily started, the notion that Muschamp might arrive at Georgia was a pretty easy rumor to kind of get going anyway, given the fact there were so many dots that were so easily connected. But as Jeff said on Friday, it kind of goes beyond just the easy connection here, that Jeff said that he had talked to people firsthand who had laid eyes on Muschamp kind of coming in and out of the Georgia facility, and this had been kind of ongoing there for a while. So much so that yesterday, I believe our buddy Chip Towers from the AJC had briefly reported that Muschamp was hired by Georgia and he was going to be in that kind of off-field quality control type analyst role for the Dogs for the upcoming season. There was some pushback from Georgia on that. Kirby Smart in particular, I read at the AJC.com from our buddy Chip that Kirby Smart says in relationship to Muschamp that he is not working here. He visited 2 days, Smart says, in a fairly terse statement, according to the AJC there. So Smart acknowledging that, yes, Muschamp has been here, but kind of pushing back on the idea that he is now working at Georgia. And you probably saw some of that kind of stuff on social media there as well, that the door may be open for it to happen, but according to Smart, that's not what's going on here right now, or as he said to the AJC, it's just simply not happening, and he kind of leaves that at that. Now, let me just briefly give my opinion about what I think is going on here, and, you know, frankly, this is just my opinion, and it should not be confused with any kind of news or anything like that, but when it comes to contracts and buyouts and things like that, and gosh knows there's a bunch of that kind of talk around the SEC this time of year with coaches getting new jobs and losing their old jobs and everything else, it is a fairly common characteristic of a lot of these contracts, at least I've been told, I'm not a lawyer myself, but I've been told that in order to get the full amount of buyout from the school that you used to work at, you have to at least put forth some sort of effort to get employment to kind of help buy down some of that buyout and alleviate your old school from some of that money. It is entirely possible that just taking an analyst job at Georgia might not be exactly the full effort to get employment, at least according to the letter of the contract. Once again, this is just my speculation. I have absolutely no idea what's really going on here. However, just because Smart says that Will Muschamp is not working here in the pages of the AJC, that does not close my mind off to the possibility that we may later on hear that Muschamp is an analyst at Georgia and kind of doing that. If it does go down, as I've said before, the odds are there'll be no official announcement about this because for the most part, these kinds of things are never officially announced. When we found out about Buster Faulkner a year ago, I think we found out about that because someone close to the situation in Hattiesburg, Mississippi had kind of talked about it. Not really anyone close to the Georgia side of this thing. That's just kind of how that kind of stuff goes. So Smart says for now that Muschamp is not working here, but that doesn't close my mind off to the possibility that he eventually might be. Now, my real reason for bringing all of that up is this. When you hear about the possibility of former Georgia alumnus, former SEC head coach at two different stops, maybe being available, maybe being able to be hired by Georgia in some capacity, there is a natural excitement about that. And listen, on this program, we're not immune to that kind of stuff. And I've said this many times before. Georgia is right now going through the process of searching for a defensive backs coach. Who do I want to be that defensive backs coach? Well, it's whoever I sort of view to be the biggest possible name available. We're just kind of attracted to big names that create easy conversations and that most of my audience is kind of aware of, or at least a large portion of my audience is aware of. We're just naturally attracted to potential big names, and we really don't make any kind of bones about that, right? That's just kind of what we do. We're in the entertainment business. Big celebrity famous names are entertaining, and therefore you're kind of attracted to that. And I think a lot of Georgia fans have been kind of much the same way. When the first chatter kind of showed up of, oh, Will Muschamp might be available, I think there was some excitement of, oh my gosh, maybe Will Muschamp could be Georgia's defensive coordinator. In fact, you want to go back to last Friday when Chip Brown from 24/7 Sports was reporting that initially Dan Lanning might be a candidate for the Alabama defensive coordinator job because Pete Golding might be going to Texas. That was where the moving pieces were on that a week ago. A lot of Georgia fans were, I don't want to say they were, pushing Lanning out the door, but they were, in some cases, barely hiding their excitement over, well, maybe this just opens up the chance for Georgia to hire Will Muschamp. And here's the point I want to make about all of that. And this is not to disparage Muschamp, who I actually think is a pretty good coach. In fact, some of y'all in the comment section make fun of me from time to time for how much I've defended Muschamp over the years, despite evidence to the contrary at times. I think Muschamp's a pretty good coach. But in comparison to his final year as defensive coordinator, going back to Auburn in 2015, to what Dan Lanning has done over the course of the last couple of years, you'd be hard-pressed to believe that, at least on the basis of that data, that Muschamp was the better DC. Back in 2015, the last time that Muschamp was a defensive coordinator in this conference, Auburn, the school that he coached for, was 11th in the league that year in points allowed. Compare that to Dan Lanning over his last 2 years at Georgia, go back to 2019, number one in the SEC in terms of points allowed, even in a year like this, in which, let's face it, the Georgia defense wasn't always perfect. Georgia was still second in the SEC in terms of points allowed. Now, that is not enough to say in and of itself that Lanning is the better coordinator over Will Muschamp, because I think Muschamp's probably a pretty good coordinator too. I'm not looking to kind of kick him while he's down after being fired at South Carolina. I'm simply trying to say this. Do not discount the role that continuity plays in Georgia's pursuit of a national championship this upcoming season. It's kind of a boring topic, really, right? I mean, when we think about how can Georgia win a national championship, it's a lot of times who you can bring in. Can you go and recruit a five-star player? Can you go and bring somebody in from the transfer portal? Is there some coach you can hire that will get you over the hump? We kind of think of LSU as having done that in 2019 when it brought in Joe Brady. I think there's a lot of external stuff that we kick around. Is there someone from outside the program, coach, player, whatever else, we can bring in, and that's the guy that's going to energize this whole thing and put Georgia over the hump for winning a national championship? But don't discount the role of continuity. I mean, think about how good Alabama was for being able to bring back year over year Steve Sarkisian as its offensive coordinator this past season, even Pete Golding, the much maligned defensive coordinator from a year ago. Alabama not great defensively this past year either, at least compared to its own standard, but good enough to win a national championship. I would say that continuity mattered. I mentioned LSU prior to that. You know, we think about Joe Brady coming in, but you had the continuity on both sides with, you know, longtime defensive coordinator, the Steve Ensminger, who had been with Ed Orgeron there for a while. You had some continuity there. Clemson, the national champion prior to that, really the picture of continuity when it comes to its coaching staff, with Brent Venables in place for what seems like 100 years working with Dabo Swinney. So my point in all of this is this. You know, you can make what you want to of the Will Muschamp news cycle. Will he be at Georgia? Won't he be at Georgia? What does it mean that he's been spotted at Georgia? I'm not quite so sure. I would certainly welcome him as a part of this staff in some form or fashion. There's a decent chance he may be quality control analyst or something like that. But the idea that Georgia would be better off with the big name at defensive coordinator, I think the numbers actually push back on that a little bit. I think that Lanning is actually one of the top up-and-coming coaches in the entire sport. His decision to return to Georgia for 2021, I think, was a big, big deal for the program because he is good, but also because continuity matters. It's not the most exciting thing we talk about when it comes to the pursuit of a national championship, but it may be among the most crucial aspects of all, and Georgia seems to have it for this upcoming season. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp, and glad to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio with our friends in Athens and the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. So glad to have all of you with us, and looking forward to a busy, fun show today. It's all brought to you by our friends, as I said before, at Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. And listen, I feel very confident in telling you that if you find yourselves going through what can be one of the toughest situations that any human being can encounter, the fear, the anxiety, the dread that may come because of a divorce, your situation can be made better by having someone really sharp, someone who's, you know, full of care and concern, someone who's been through this many times before. That's what the attorneys at Meriwether and Tharp provide. They are your source for Georgia divorce. They provide a ton of free resources. You can always tell just how generous someone's going to be and how much, you know, great work and care they're going to take for you, depending on how much they do for you before you even officially become a client. When you go check out their website, theatlantadivorceteam.com, theatlantadivorceteam.com is that website, you can see lots of free resources that are available to people, whether you become a client of theirs or not. I'm talking about blog posts and podcasts, even an initial phone consultation with one of their attorneys. It's a great, great reason to check it out today. If you find yourself in this situation, make it better. Put yourself on a path towards making yourself whole again, your family, your finances, everything else. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com. Our friends at Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. As I mentioned a moment ago, incredibly loaded on today's show. Great night last night for Georgia basketball. Fun to see the winning streaks, the losing streak snapped against Kentucky. Coach Tom Crean from the Georgia men's basketball team will join us before we're done on today's program. That's later on. Also, our buddy Terrence Edwards, the former Georgia wide receiver, coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's time. Before any of that, though, let me go around the doghouse here today, delivered by Marco's Pizza. And this is kind of what I would say a little bit of a good news, bad news situation, depending on your perspective on this. There have been a lot of rumors as of late about, you know, big name players in the SEC that might enter the transfer portal. And one of the guys that, and as I said before, look, for the most part, I'm as attracted to rumors as anybody else is. You know, given the fact we have a big platform, big audience every day, I do try to be really careful about which rumors I kind of, you know, drag into discussion, which ones I don't, because, you know, we just want to be a little bit careful around here from time to time. But one of the names that's kind of shown up with some of this kind of stuff as is the LSU defensive back, cornerback Elias Ricks. And what's interesting about Ricks and a possible transfer from LSU is there seems to be a couple of obvious Georgia connections. Ricks is good friends with Kendall Milton, I believe a former high school teammate of JT Daniels. These are guys that know, you know, a lot of Georgia players know Ricks pretty well. Georgia's obviously would seem to be in need of a defensive back. Transfer, you know, seems like a pretty good option there for that. So here's kind of a good news, bad news situation. If you check out Rick's Twitter as of late, there's enough tweets kind of out there about, you know, kind of bad news, bad feelings, things like that. It certainly gives credence to the idea that he might be leaving LSU. Sometimes all this stuff ends up being about a girl and not about a school, so you always have to take that with kind of a grain of salt. But there's been enough social media activity from Rick's, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, things like that, where you're left to say, well, maybe it's a possibility that Rick's could truly be looking to leave LSU. But if that's the good news, the bad news is this. You check around on the other corners of the internet, like our buddy Jeremy Birmingham, who has covered Ohio State recruiting for a long time. You certainly get the impression that if Ricks were to leave LSU, that right now it would appear that Georgia's maybe not the top landing spot there. I know that Birmingham had a podcast of the day where he mentioned, you know, maybe Ohio State is a top landing spot. I think there have been some other reports, you know, kind of related to that too. So that's kind of where that stands here at the moment. You know, Rick's a name that people know, a source of curiosity about maybe he might transfer from LSU. A lot of other folks seem to be leaving that program. The chances of him doing that may be a possibility. The chances of him landing at Georgia right now may be more remote compared to what some people are saying, like, you know, longtime Ohio State reporters, things like that. So I guess the bottom line is, do with that what you will. It's Around the Doghouse, delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza, America's most beloved pizza. Real, authentic pizza made the Italian way, and great savings there as well. And in fact, a lot of great options for you too. If you've not tried one of their pizza bowls, this is like, especially, you know, for a lot of folks who are trying to maybe in the new year do without some of the carbs and things like that. Well, this is the great pizza flavor without the crust. It's a pizza bowl. It's everything you love, just no crust. So there's three different varieties. You can get the deluxe, the garden, the all meat. The great pizza bowls there from our friends at Marco's Pizza. You can also get great savings too as well. Large specialty pizza right now, just $13.99. You can find that online, the Marco's app, or you can go to marcos.com and find out all kinds of stuff too. We're heading towards really big football weekend. Marco's Pizza goes great with that, and they also go great with Around the Doghouse here today. All right, let me recap what the show's going to be like. Later on, Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, we'll talk to him about a big win for the Dogs last night against Kentucky. There are some SEC news and rumors we want to cover and touch on before the show is done today as well. But for now, on everything going on with UGA football, the search for a new defense backs coach, and kind of the offseason approach this team's going to take, let's talk to our buddy Terrence Edwards right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, hello to Terrence Edwards, the great former Georgia wide receiver and just a terrific analyst voice talking the sport of college football, something that we love to do around here. And Terrence, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you with us here today. And I wanted to ask you, you know, I asked John Stinchcomb, your former college teammate, the same question a little earlier this week. Georgia right now is in the midst of searching for a defensive backs coach. And those of us who are not former players, I think we have some idea of what that means for the players currently on this roster, the closeness that they develop with their defensive backs coach. But in some cases, you know, maybe as a former player, you can shed even more insight to that. How important is it for Georgia when you have to go out and replace a position coach to the players who are part of that position?
Right, you know, it's tough because the defense back coach or in a positional coach kind of recruited these guys, been in house with these guys, kind of know these guys intimately and personally. So now you're bringing in a new coach that's got to get to know each and every player. And as a coach myself, that's a lot of personalities in one room, and you have to figure out how to coach these guys. So it's an adjustment, but I think they're all young adults and grown men, and they will figure it out. And hopefully we have a spring practice up on our belt so these guys can really learn what this new defense back coach is looking for in the way he coaches.
You know, a lot of folks in the media, and you just hear this commonly mentioned around college football from time to time, that, oh, you can't choose a school for the coach. You're going to choose it for the location. I've always felt like, though, that's probably something that's easier said than done, because let's face it, that position coach, and as you said, you know, you are a position coach. You kind of understand this kind of stuff. That position coach is someone who develops, either for the good or the bad, you know, such a close relationship with those players that, you know, the notion that you got to choose a school because of the academic stuff or because of, you know, the town that you live in and not the coach you're going to play for, you know, that's one of those things that's just easier said than done, is it not?
It's easier said than done. I mean, these guys really got to get to know your position coach. You spend a crazy amount of time with your position coach, I mean, in the meetings, and that's the guy who's coaching you. That's the guy who's calling you if there's anything wrong. Like, that's the first guy you meet before you go to your head coach. So the position of coach is very important to the development on and off the field to these young men. And now this defensive back group has to get to know a new coach.
So let me give you one more kind of thought on this, then we can move on and talk about something different. I'm curious if you agree with this or not, and maybe you don't. You know, normally when Georgia has the need to replace a coach, a position coach, I typically want the best recruiter Georgia can find because of how valuable it is to have the best possible talent you can get. This may be one instance, though, where I've kind of said, I'm not quite so sure that I value recruiting over on-field coaching for this particular team this particular year. Georgia's got plenty of talent in its defensive back room at the moment. It is inexperienced. And so, therefore, knowing that Georgia would seem to, at least on paper, have most of the other pieces that it needs to really compete for a national championship, if you're a Georgia fan, it's almost like you say, let's make sure that this one area doesn't become an Achilles heel for Georgia, an inexperienced secondary that isn't coached up as well as they could be. Maybe for this one hire, this one time, maybe you do lean more in the direction of quality on-field coach more so than tireless recruiter. Where would you come down on a conversation like that?
I agree with you totally, 100%. I think people are, you know, going crazy. I've seen a lot of messages like we have to go into the portal to go get an experienced DB. I don't think so. I think we have a lot of young talent in that DB room. I think it's time, you know, Jalen Kimber, we have Ringo. We have a lot of talent in that room that needs to play, and we need a coach that can really coach them up. And I think Kirby is the ultimate recruiter once it comes to the defensive back. So he can handle the recruiting part, especially in the secondary. We need a coach now that can get ready to get the best out of these guys. And I agree to 100%.
Of course, you are a Georgia alumnus, but as a personal coach of wide receivers and the program you work with in Atlanta Pace Academy, you also are just kind of an advocate for players to, you know, play all across the Southeast or all across the country, really, other programs. From that standpoint, I'm curious, you know, for the players that you've worked with or the, you know, the other coaches and players you kind of come in contact with, when you see a situation like what's going on at Tennessee, you know, coach is now gone, players going into the transfer portal left and right, some recruits looking to get out of their letter of intent, how much do you think, you know, future recruiting classes right now are noticing that turmoil? And when you have a situation like what's gone down with Pruitt and, you know, him being, you know, kind of kicked to the curb there in Knoxville, how badly do you think something like that has a chance to set back a Tennessee program? Certainly from my standpoint, it seems like they could have damage done that could last for years. What's your perspective on that?
I think so, too. I think the hire that they're going to hire, it's got to be a slam dunk. It got to be a guy that could come in very quickly. I mean, I'm an SEC guy. I love the SEC. And I think Tennessee, along with Florida and Georgia, has to be good every year just to make the competitive balance in the league. And that's, of course, I want Georgia to be the top dog, but I just don't want Tennessee to be a doormat. So they have to hire a guy. I mean, recruits are going to leave. The stability right now, recruits don't want to go through that. We saw what happened at SC where everything was happening back in the day, and they got stripped of all their wins and their titles and all that. Players want to go to a situation where the stability is not great. They have to find a guy that's going to turn around his program. I think a big-name guy that everyone knows that can go in and turn around his program. And I hope they hire a slam-dunk candidate.
One of the, I guess, most important storylines for Georgia this offseason is something we won't get a lot of public indication about. You know, the continued work of JT Daniels, now fully cemented as Georgia's starting quarterback, a more seasoned, experienced crop of wide receivers coming back for Georgia in 2021 than maybe the program has had the last couple of years. Terrence, take me behind the scenes here for a moment. What can happen right now? Obviously, we hope that spring practice takes place. That's a big part of this. But what can this early portion of the offseason calendar be like for quarterback and receivers getting on the same page, continuing to develop their chemistry, and really taking this Georgia offense where it has a chance to go for the upcoming season?
I think this offseason is going to be big for the Georgia offense. Now we have a quarterback, an established quarterback, and a guy. We know who's going to be the quarterback after injury-wise, and I knock on wood that don't. So, not guy that gets the guys together to go do 7-on-7 when the coaches are not allowed to be out there. Those are the things that most fans don't know. The coaches are not allowed to be with the team for a certain period of time. So now it's the strength and conditioning coaches that have the guys in. It's JT Daniels' job now to get the guys to go and throw, get the guys together, go and watch them. It's his job to get all these guys on one accord going into spring practice.
So I promise I won't ask you about this every time you come on the show, but I think a lot of folks are curious. Things have kind of gone quiet on the Rick Gilbert front as of late. Anything that you can tell us right now that you're authorized to tell us about what maybe Gilbert might be thinking right now or kind of what his situation is like there currently in Baton Rouge, but possibly maybe moving somewhere else?
The young man right now is just trying to take his time, trying to figure out and navigate himself through this whole process and just try to make the best decision for him. He's, you know, already chose LSU once, and he's just looking for a home that's going to mature him as a man on and off the field. And I don't have a timetable when it's going to be, but I know right now he's just taking an approach that he has to get this right from the field and off the field.
Do you think there's a possibility that he stays at LSU, Terrence?
The possibility is always there. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to talk to him about his destination. The first time I talked to him right after it came out, we had a long talk, and I just told him, Eric, at the end of the day, you got to make a decision that best fits for you and no one else because you have to live your life. And, you know, if that's Georgia, LSU, whatever, just make it for the right reasons. And I think he took that to heart, and he's going to make the decision that best for him. And I have no clue what it's going to be.
That's good stuff, Terrence. Hey, before we let you go, remind people, the work that you're doing as a personal wide receivers coach is something that I'm always proud to tell people about because I love people who make a big impact on the next generation of great football players. Remind folks how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to do so about that.
If you're looking to get your son to be the best receiver that he could be, you can contact me on all social media at Terrence Elwes Wide Receiver Academy. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Terrence, great stuff. Thank you so much for being here. Can't wait to talk to you again very soon, and we'll continue to watch how this Georgia program progresses here during the offseason.
All right, thank you, BF, for having me.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Terrence Edwards. Really appreciate him being a part of the program. And, you know, listen, it's important to get the insight that he provides. Obviously knows Rick Gilbert well, having worked with him in the past. And, you know, he's good enough to share some of that thought there with us there. So I'm very appreciative of that. I'll also remind you that coming up in just a few minutes' time here, we're going to talk to Georgia basketball coach Tom Crane after a big win for the Dogs last night against Kentucky. We will look forward to doing that here in just a little bit. Of course, Tom Crane right there in the city of Athens. When I think about the city of Athens, one of the things I think about is great beer. That's obviously one of the things that Athens is known for. Like our friends at Creature Comforts Brewing Company and their special product, Classic City Lager. It is good cold beer. Trust me on that when I tell you. A lager-style beer, which means lighter beer, but no sacrifice on flavor. And boy, it looks great rolling off the belt there. The cans are sharp looking. In fact, those cans available in 6 and 12 packs, whatever retailer, whatever shopping, you know, outlet you like to go to pick up your groceries, you can pick up some Classic City Lager from Creature Comforts Brewing Company. It's like getting a great taste from Athens without actually having to be in the Classic City. And man, it goes great as you start thinking about the weekend. I love talking about Classic City Lager from Creature Comforts Brewing Company on Thursdays because it gets me excited about the weekend, and certainly that's going to go well with your weekend plans, whatever they might be. All right, let's do some SEC Through stuff here just for a moment. So, mentioned the situation at Tennessee. It is a disaster. Appears to be getting worse. You got big names now going in the transfer portal. Henry Toto, very good linebacker, a guy that's been kind of a tackle for loss machine there and really just a big collector of tackles in general. Looks like he's in the transfer portal now. Kovaris Crouch, whom a lot of you who cover recruiting, or not cover recruiting, but follow recruiting, may remember as a, you know, big-time player. He's in the portal now, too. Eric Gray, the running back. Ty Chandler's already announced a new home. Their other running back, Eric Gray, in there as well. You certainly get the impression that more are to come. And I swear, I don't understand why I'm an island on this. Are we sure that firing Jeremy Pruitt was the right thing to do? I mean, listen, you know, there's all kinds of stuff about Pruitt and his time at Georgia. Maybe behind the scenes, Pruitt was not easy to work with. Maybe there was some personality conflicts, things like that. But just based on what we can measure publicly, is whatever the next coach at Tennessee is going to be saddled with, self-instigated NCAA investigation, incredibly decimated roster. Wouldn't they have just been better off just riding it out with Pruitt? I personally think they would have been, because there are a lot of SEC teams that are in a lot worse shape than Tennessee was even this year. They had a tough schedule. They still trying to figure out quarterback. Pruitt inherited an awful situation, and really a few coaches now have kind of, you know, passed down the same awful situation at Tennessee. It's a weird spot to be in, but I think that Tennessee, at least in my eyes, worse off for what they've done. Another piece of news related to Tennessee that actually probably ends up another impacts another SEC program. You may remember Dylan Brooks, kind of a big-time pass rusher type name for the class of 2021, a Tennessee signee. He has put out on social media that he wants out of his letter of intent. Now, there's no current process for that, but in some cases you have a little bit of leniency here, you know, maybe Tennessee magnanimous or whatever else. But the point is, if Brooks, who is from the state of Alabama, if he is released from Tennessee and kind of free to go somewhere else, you might keep your eye on Auburn on that. The Brian Harsin era, you know, stole a couple of big-time assistant coaches away from South Carolina, maybe now also trying to steal a signee away from Tennessee. That's still in the early stages, but kind of keep your eye on that just a little bit. It also, if you peruse the Alabama media right now, I mean University of Alabama, it certainly seems like a foregone conclusion that Bill O'Brien is about to be the Alabama offensive coordinator. It is not official the way that Doug Marrone has been, kind of, I guess, officially named as offensive line coach, but the O'Brien thing is going to happen, and I'm guessing that's probably a pretty good hire. You know, O'Brien even kind of briefly showed up on the radar as, you know, possible Tennessee head coach, or, you know, I mean, O'Brien, if you're going to move to the college ranks, you know, O'Brien's reputation as a college coach is probably still pretty good, even though his NFL reputation is pretty much dirt right now. You know, as a college guy, he's a pretty big name, so it's another big-time hire for Alabama when it goes down. Seems like it's going to, and the Alabama offensive machine that's been humming right along would seem to kind of keep on humming when it comes to that. Let me also say one more thing as part of our SEC through, and Connor joked with me yesterday that maybe I'm trying to, like, speak this into existence at the moment, but just hear me out on this. The LSU defensive coordinator search is ongoing, and you know, everybody in Baton Rouge is kind of circling the wagons to say nothing to see here, everything is fine, LSU's on its way to getting a big-time name. But the more and more the search goes on, and the farther and farther they go down the list of potential hires, the more they don't arrive at the name of their current defensive backs coach, Corey Raymond, who you'd assume would like to be a defensive coordinator somewhere at some point in time. At what point in time does he start getting a little restless to say, well, if I can't get hired as DC right now, when they're essentially like picking names out of the phone book to see if they can be the DC, then maybe my chance for professional development is just not going to happen here. Much the same way that Scott Cochran chose to leave Alabama a year ago because he had kind of bumped into a ceiling of professional development. Is there a chance the same thing happens with Corey Raymond? Raymond, I would say, is the biggest possible name that Georgia could hire as defensive backs coach. A lot of folks kind of come up with some reasons why it's not going to happen. These are smart people, and I respect their opinion on that. Certainly, for whatever reason, Raymond and Georgia didn't work out the last time they danced with each other before the hiring of Charlton Warren. But the situation in Baton Rouge is really, really weird right now, and at least the appearance that I get. It's pretty weird. And you start to wonder just how much some of that might eventually impact Raymond. And maybe he starts shopping around and maybe more likely to leave a place, a state, and a school that he's been happy at, given the current circumstances. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, we're like 3 minutes away from talking to Coach Tom Crean about a big win for Georgia basketball. And listen, one of the things we're going to talk about when Coach Crean joins us is that this was, for me, a little bit of a bittersweet night last night in the fact that college basketball is just having a real challenging season, right? I mean, you know, when you see Georgia get a win like this against Kentucky, you kind of expect the floor to be stormed, all the fans running on the court. You love the way in which everybody kind of stands up in unison around the gym, you know, late in the game like this. And obviously this year you're having to kind of navigate a Stegman Coliseum situation where you don't have quite as many fans in the stands. And for coaches, you look across the SEC standings, you see like different number of games for, you know, a good number of teams. I think Vanderbilt basketball is going to shut it down for the rest of the season now. I'm talking about women's basketball, I should say, women's basketball. it's just kind of a it's kind of a challenging time. And so for Coach Crean, it certainly seems like he is navigating that as best as can be navigated. Very good run through the non-conference slate. A little bit of a tough start to SEC play. Some of that was tough road games. Times Georgia probably also didn't play its best brand of basketball. But certainly after a win against Ole Miss this past weekend and a win against Kentucky last night, it was really just a kind of a nice commercial for Georgia basketball. I'll tell you a quick story about this, and then we'll get ready to speak to Coach Crean here in just a moment. So one of the things I like to do in the morning before my kids go off to school, I like to spend just a little bit of time with them. And, you know, sometimes my daughter and I watch a little Disney Plus, or my son and I watch a little, you know, SportsCenter. It's like 5 minutes, right? It's not much time, but it's just a little time to, kind of relax and kind of catch your breath a little bit before the day starts with them going to school and me going to work. And so my son and I this morning were watching a little bit of SportsCenter, and, you know, down there on the crawl at the very bottom, they show the lead, which is like the big stories that are ongoing. They show the lead. And among the lead stories for SportsCenter this morning down there on the crawl was Georgia basketball getting a win against Kentucky. Now, ESPN told it from a Kentucky perspective, which, listen, I guess you can kind of expect that. But nonetheless, Georgia basketball kind of on that lead. My son said, hey, look, there's Georgia. And so that's why it's good, I think, to have kind of blue blood flagship institutions in your conference. Even if we don't like Kentucky basketball, it's kind of good to have a program like that that everybody knows and ESPN pays attention to, because when you go out and get a win against a program like that, it also provides, you know, nice publicity and good value for you. We saw some of that on ESPN this morning. And the guy who led the victory last night, Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, good enough to join us here for a couple of minutes on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. Coach Crean, congratulations to you and your team for what was a really fun win last night, and thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes with us on the program here today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I appreciate you asking, and thank you.
So let me start with this. Obviously, we know it snapped for Georgia, kind of a losing streak against the Wildcats dating back, I think, 8 years, 14 games, I believe, was the streak. When you're coaching in a game like that with these young players who weren't around for games like that, and some of them may not even be fully aware of the Kentucky mystique, how much does Kentucky's history, both recent and long-term, hang over the court in a game like the one you coached last night or like the previous games you've coached in against Kentucky?
Well, I think it's important that you don't let it. I think it's important that you cover it, right? I don't think you can ignore it. I think you cover it, and that you're not playing the tradition. You're not playing the mystique and the mystery. You're not playing the jersey. You're playing the players inside of it, and you try to get them to understand. And then you don't spend much time on it. You spend the majority of your time on what you've got to do to get yourself to win by eliminating losing. You know, how you block out, how you get back in transition defense, how you challenge shots, how we cut and move without the ball. But I do think it is important to address that. And I don't address it much, but I address it enough to where they understand it. And but again, it's easier said than done. They have to play that way. It's a big deal. You know, when you play Kentucky, it doesn't matter about anybody's record or any of that type of stuff. What matters is it's Kentucky. And so you just put it in context that the most important thing is, okay, this is what we've got to take away from this guy. This is what we've got to take away from that guy. And you try to stay focused on that.
When I'm watching your team, I'm seeing an entertaining brand of basketball. I would say that Sevier Wheeler is one of the quickest players in the SEC, moving 94 feet. KD Johnson's obviously brought a big offensive spark since he's become eligible. How happy are you right now with the energy with which your team is playing with? Certainly, it seems like we saw, you know, it was not a perfect game, obviously, and I think you would attest to that, but a lot of energy from your team last night. How happy are you with that right now?
Well, I'm happy with the spirit, and I think the spirit creates energy, and the spirit creates belief. The spirit creates camaraderie, and that's the most important thing. You can never let the game or an individual in the game take your spirit, and I thought that happened a little bit in Auburn and at Arkansas. We didn't have the same spirit to win the game. We didn't have the same connectivity, and when we got down, we didn't believe we could win, and I think in the Ole Miss game and then certainly in this game, parlayed into the fact that we never lost that belief. So it's tough when you're playing Kentucky. They're not a fast-paced team. They want to make the game in the half court. You're dealing with a lot of length. You're dealing with a lot of size. You're dealing with talent. You've got to be really able to stay connected, you know, defensively. I thought maybe as big a key to the game, outside of the lack of turnovers for us and the way we were able to capitalize on theirs, was the 1-for-13 three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Because they do have a guy that was shooting 50% in league. and number 11, Dante Allen. And so those kind of things where the energy is really strong, possession after possession, even when you're not scoring, you know, when teams that struggle defensively a lot of times are because they're living in the past, because they just missed a shot or we're struggling getting our offense going. And I think last night and against Ole Miss, we didn't do that.
Yeah, you mentioned that a moment ago. I think it's kind of an interesting point that obviously a very nice run through the non-conference slate, kind of a tough schedule to start your SEC play on the road, some tough venues. And, you know, obviously there's that need to kind of change the momentum. Beyond just beating a blue blood team that everybody knows in Kentucky, how important have the last two games been for your team in terms of kind of reestablishing your footing within SEC play now?
Well, I think that's the result of it. But I think the most important thing is the way we've responded from those games. And like I told this team, we won the Ole Miss game on Thursday and Friday with the way that they responded and the way that they responded in practice, the way they responded in the Ole Miss hotel ballroom when we're watching film and walking through on Friday night, because that created their spirit again. And I loved our locker room, our pregame locker room before Ole Miss, you know, which is, to me as a coach, is something that it's a big judgment for me. You know, if that locker room feels good on the road and you're in there with them and they're looking back at you and you're getting energy from them, now you feel you're going to have a chance. And I felt like that, you know, in that game. And so I think those things are what you concentrate most on as a coach and trying to get it right. And then the record, you know, you just take each game as it comes, but you've got to have your team connected. And it's harder and harder. I think every team is going through it. And especially with us having eight new players that, mm-hmm. that didn't have a full summer together, that didn't have the spring. You know, the guys that have played the most are two sophomores in Tumani and Sevier, and then you throw in Ty Fagan, and everybody else is new that's playing. Yeah. So it takes time, and especially in a pandemic year like this, where everything is so different. And so the mental challenge of this is really crucial. And that's where camaraderie and togetherness come in, and then they start to understand, hey, I can do a lot more when I'm bringing energy to my teammates because they're bringing energy to me. And it sounds simple, but it's complicated because
sure.
it's not easy to do that. And that's what we just got to continue to build constantly as a coach and as a program, and that's how you gain momentum.
You mentioned the pandemic. I was telling some of our audience before you joined us that it was a little bit bittersweet for me last night in that in a normal situation when you guys were on your way to winning a thriller versus Kentucky, we'd see Stegman Coliseum, everybody stands up and you get the big roars and maybe even a storming of the court once the game was over. That's kind of those of us who grew up loving college basketball. Those are the images about the sport we really love. That's not possible right now. I'm sure that you probably find yourself noticing lots of things like that, navigating a season unlike any other for college basketball. You know, what are the feelings that kind of conjure up for you, even when good things are happening, of just how different this season really is?
I feel bad for the fans, and yeah. I feel bad for our team not having that energy from them. And I think that, again, is why the mental toughness and to be able to overcome things. As I tell them every day, if you can control what you can control and you really, really focus on that, And you can deal with the adversity, we're going to all be so much better off in life when this passes. And we're here together, right? And like the Bible says, for a time such as this, I mean, we're here together in this situation. And the best thing we can do is help each other through it constantly. You know, they're isolated in so many situations. And if nothing's normal and this becomes the new normal, well, at the end of the day, it's not going to be like that forever.
Right.
So the more that you can control it inside of this, the better you're going to be down the road. The most important thing, though, is that we stay constantly focused on how we control it every day. And that's why your attitude, the energy that you come with, not being distracted and not letting things get you down, that's the stuff that you've got to work at all the time. And because then they get into the games and everybody's going through the same thing. It's all how you respond to it and how you help each other. So I know I keep saying that, but that is the absolute key to how you get through these type of situations right now. No one can do it alone. I mean, you've got to continue to, whether it's reminding somebody to keep their mask on, whether it's reminding somebody to call out a pick, you know, whatever it is, you've got to communicate with each other constantly and understand that's what's going to help you through it.
Well, I'll finish with this, Coach. Congratulations. A great win last night. Certainly fun to see. Around here, we don't like the Florida Gators very much. You guys got a chance to beat up on them.
I heard that about you. I heard you, I heard you don't like him extra. Mike Griffith passed that up.
Well, it would be nothing would be better for us this upcoming weekend to see the Dogs get another big win against Florida. So best of luck to you in that game. And certainly appreciate your time today. We'll look forward to getting a chance to chat with you soon.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there from Tom Crean, the coach of the Georgia basketball team, and a fun win last night against the Kentucky Wildcats. He's very generous to spend some of his time with us here today. Let me also shout out my friends at my bookie here for a moment. As you head towards the upcoming weekend, lots of college basketball, lots of football, lots of everything else. Have some fun with those games as we head towards the weekend. Get some action down on the game with my friends at MyBookie. The great thing about MyBookie is they're known for some of the best player perks in the industry. That means when you sign up, they're going to give you a deposit bonus for doing so. You can get up to 50% back. It means you put $1,000 in your account and they give you extra $500 right there. You're already a winner, in other words, before you place your first bet. But in order to take advantage of the big first deposit bonus, you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. All one word, spelled D-A-W-G. Find MyBookie online. Use the promo code DOGNATION. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. Hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. We'll do a Golden Shoe winner again tomorrow. We run out of time today. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.